There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a quiet whisper. When Elisha heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we heard a time to keep silent and a time to speak. And then in 1 Kings, we heard about the prophet Elijah and the still small voice and the solitude of the mountain. From Psalms came, be still and know that I am God. And finally, we heard that Jesus rose early in the morning before the sun was up to go to a deserted place to be alone in prayer. All along the way from the Old Testament Israelites to Jesus' final night in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible suggests that there is a time to keep silence, that there is a need for quiet time when we can rid ourselves of the day's clutter and let God do the talking. But for most of us, silence is something that does not come easy, if at all. In fact, for many people, silence is seen as the enemy. When we are out in public, it seems like either music or a TV is playing. As soon as we get up, we turn on the TV to catch the weather and the headlines. During our quiet and devotional time, if we even get around to it, it takes all the willpower that we have to simply keep our hands off of that remote or to answer that text that just came in. We then jump into our car to go to work and turn on the radio. When we jog, we take our iPod. Some of us can't even sleep unless a fan is running in the background. And then there's the church. Have you noticed how uncomfortable we are with long periods of silence? Have you ever found yourself reading the announcements during silent prayer, wondering if and when the pastor was going to end the silence with amen? Or does your mind ever wander, counting all the things that need to be done as soon as you get home? Yes, silence is uncomfortable for us. We are so used to being busy, is it any wonder we find it easier to talk about God than to experience God? Many years ago, during the Chrysler 30-second silence to honor the death of Lee Iacocca's wife, it was amusing to hear the reporter go on to calculate in money how much the 30-second work shutdown cost the company. Silence, you see, was an amenity, and it was regarded as counterproductive. During seminary, I remember the time that I was in the library and had just finished reading some information that I needed for a paper that I had to write and was just sitting and staring into space. And one of my professors happened to walk by and said, "You'd understand that better if you didn't read it upside down." Later that day before class, he asked me, "What were you thinking about earlier?" "Oh, nothing in particular." Well, good for you. I never want you to be lazy, but everyone needs to take time once in a while just to be. To empty themselves of preconceived ideas and opinions, to sort out things that they have learned with the head and let them move into their heart. Or to put that in religious language, you need to take time to let God speak to you. In our loud world, it can be hard to hear God. Silence, stillness, solitude help us create a space in which to hear God. They help us to listen and observe what is going on outside of us and to see what God is doing. They also help us to listen to what is going on inside of us and to listen in our hearts, to settle down enough to listen deeply to God in prayer. But for many of us, myself included, it is hard to fit solitude and stillness into our busy lives. As we said earlier, we have meals to make and children to get to school and after school activities and 60-hour work weeks, errands to run, houses to clean, Bible study, choir practice, church meetings to attend. There's just not enough time in a 24-hour day for silence and solitude, we say. So how can we make that happen? Just a few suggestions, just two simple suggestions. First of all, you may have to say no to some other things. Keeping TV or the computer off, refusing to answer the phone, or you may have to say no to some good area of service to gain time in God's presence. Or, if you commute to work, instead of listening to music, talk radio, or recorded books, which is my pitfall, how about turning off them and writing in silence to work? And secondly, keep your expectations realistic. This is an important learning for me that I continually repeat and remind myself. Evaluate your last time alone with God. Did God show up? Was it boring? Did you fall asleep? That's why I can't do my devotional time at night. What were you expecting? Did it live up to your expectations? Why or why not? Even when we take times of solitude and silence, God will not always speak to you. God will not always speak to you. But it is worth taking time to do it, just in case. If you expect great gems each time you meet with God, you will be terribly disappointed and you will lose interest quickly. This is what I struggle with. We do this even with prayer concerns. You know, we pray for something and we pray for something and it doesn't seem like God is answering and we lose interest, or we say, God's not listening to me, or what is the worth of doing it? Times of silence and solitude have to be about simply being with God. And then don't feel guilty if your mind wanders and you end up thinking about what you are going to fix for dinner. When your thoughts keep drifting, just be available to hear God's voice again, maybe after jotting down that menu on a piece of paper that you have right next to you. Like the psalmist and Elijah and Jesus, we are called to be open and emptied so that God can speak to and through and in us, so that God can renew us and give us strength to go back into the noise and the tumult of the world with confidence and hope. Let us pray. O Lord, you know my heart better than I know it myself. You know my struggles, and you hold each hope and fear in your caring hands. Teach me, Lord, to be still and know that you are God. Like Elijah, teach me to wait for your still, small voice and quiet the earthquakes and the blazing fires in my life. Replace my restlessness doing with inner calm, and help me find quietness and happiness in intimate communion with you. And like Jesus, lead me to that solitary place where I can just be with you again. Amen.